Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
And once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. Now, for the first time in the month of April 2016, we hear political rock cracking. What's going on? Is the Donald Trump campaign falling apart? Is it Ted Cruz that feels he's being crushed? Is it John Kasich, who's under a bunch of pile of rocks? He has no way to win the nomination. We might as well call it the Trump Kasich Alliance to try to keep Ted Cruz out of the nomination. It's an alliance between Trump and Kasich, it looks like to me. Hey, but the political rock, it could be the GOP establishment or the entire Republican Party falling apart. And let's don't leave the Democrats out, because Hillary Clinton is being called forward with some of her top aides for questioning by the FBI in the email scandal. Is there a Clinton that's ever lived that's not lined up with scandals in their lives? I mean, another Clinton scandal and the FBI investigating 146 agents on this. And yes, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm your host. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. And have we got a show for you as we're talking about the political rocks that keep falling. Hey, you know, we just went by Easter. And it's a crazy week in politics before Easter and after Easter. And some people say, where'd you get the name Rock Splitting Politics? Well, it has a lot to do with Easter, because if you open up the New Testament, I know we got Jewish listeners, some Muslim listeners. We got people of all faiths, and I welcome everybody. But yes, I am a Christian. You open up the New Testament, it says, when Jesus died on a cross, that the earthquake and rocks split. So I heard my pastor speaking about that one time, and I was trying to think of what we need to name this radio show. So Rock Splitting Politics, that's where it came from. And I don't know a better case of explaining what's going on in politics now than to talk about what's falling apart, or what seems the potential of an entire party imploding. That's the Republicans, and the Democrats can't get too cocky because they got a socialist running and giving a hard time to the nominee to be ever since 2008. She's been prepared for this for 8 years, and she still can't incite any enthusiasm. So what's America going to do? Well, you're listening right here to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because we got a special guest today, Phyllis Schlafly. She has been in every Republican convention since 1952, when Dwight D. Eisenhower became the nominee. She's been there. She's going to be our guest today, and we're going to get to her in just a few minutes. But before we ask Phyllis Schlafly what she thinks, and she is a Donald Trump supporter, and I'll go into that, but I also, knowing that she's on a religious right, she's talked about all these things, you'd think she'd be a Ted Cruz fan. But why did she pick Donald Trump? You'll find out in just a few minutes, because we're going to ask her that. Now, listen, before we get to the Phyllis Schlafly interview, And I have to remind you, she's 92 years young, but she's sharp as a tack. And like I said, who could better tell us about the Republican nomination? She's been to every convention since 1952. And what does it mean today? What does it mean? Well, I have to tell you before we go into that, there was still, there was a moment last week when Chris Matthews, and we've had clips of his shows many times over the years, but Chris Matthews, he is a very tough, and I don't really care for his politics because he's so liberal and he always goes to the throat of conservatives. But he got Donald Trump one-on-one, and listen to what he said, and is this a rock-splitting moment?
Should the woman be punished for having an abortion?
Look.
This is not something you can dodge.
If abortion is a crime
or abortion is murder, you have to deal with it under the law. Should abortion be punished?
Well, people in certain parts of the Republican Party and conservative Republicans would say, yes, they should be punished.
How about you?
I would say that it's a very serious problem, and it's a problem that we have to decide on. It's very
hard.
Are you going to say put them in jail? Is that what I'm asking you about?
Because you say you want to ban it.
I am pro-life, yes.
What is ban? How do you ban abortion? How do you actually do it?
Well, you know, you'll go back to a position like they had where people will perhaps go to illegal places.
Yeah.
But you have to ban it.
They go to somebody who flunked out of medical school.
Are you Catholic?
Yes, I think
how do you feel about the Catholic Church's position?
I accept the teaching authority of my church on moral issues.
But do you know their position on abortion?
Yes, I do.
And do you concur with that position?
I concur with their moral position, but legally, question. Here's my problem.
But let me ask you. But what do you say about?
It's not funny.
Your church. Yeah, it's really not a funny thing. What do you say about your church? They're very, very strong.
They're allowed to, but the churches make their moral judgments. But you running for president of the United States will be chief executive of the United States. Do you believe believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? As a principle.
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah, there has to be some form.
10 years?
I don't know. I don't know.
You take positions on everything else.
I do take positions on everything else. It's a very complicated position.
Now, that's heavy stuff by Donald Trump. He obviously came back and walked back that statement 2 or 3 hours after he made it, but not before he upset the entire pro-life community, because never... And I've been a part of the pro-life community for years and have respected so many people. And there's different factions in the pro-life community, but no one. And Donald Trump said in an interview, you heard him, he said there's some in the Republican Party who want women punished if they have an abortion. I've never known a Republican. I've known no one in the pro-life movement that has ever mentioned anything about women being punished if they have an abortion. Because the pro-life movement looks at it like this. Now, some of you out there listening are pro-choice, and you want to paint this. And of course, Hillary Clinton came right out and said, this is how Republicans think, which is entirely untrue. Because it's always been in the pro-life movement that there's two victims of an abortion. The mother and the child. They're both victims of the abortion. That's the way it's seen by pro-life communities everywhere. I know no one who wants the woman punished. And Donald Trump said there had to be some punishment. Then he walked that back. But there was a hailstorm of criticism from all sides. Is this finally what may cause the Trump campaign to start crumbling? Is it cracking a wall? Is it rock splitting politics at its zenith? I mean, is this the Trump campaign about to break apart? Time after time, he's taken a lick and kept on ticking and gotten stronger. But it's starting not to be funny now by those who know if the Republican Party splits and there's no satisfaction, Hillary Clinton can dance into the White House. She can dance. Even with the FBI looking over her back, you know Loretta Lynch, our new attorney general, and Barack Obama are not going to stop Hillary Clinton. They're not going to bring an indictment. I mean, if they did, I mentioned that before. I mean, it would be after an election and Obama would pardon her, and that would be that. And it'd be a firestorm in the conservative circles. The media would say, oh, well, it's no big deal. It's nothing like Nixon. Ha! 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 You remember Hillary was on the Watergate committee as a young lawyer and got kicked off because she couldn't be trusted. And she's the one said, no one is above the law. Well, I hope to goodness America will remember that. Now, let's get back to the rock splitting politics and what's going on with Donald Trump. And not only was that came after Donald Trump stood up for his campaign manager who had grabbed a reporter, and they got images of that. Most people who care about politics have seen it. The reporter was not knocked down. It didn't look aggressively on television, on the security cameras, what was seen. Yes, she showed bruises. Is it something that should be handled in a court of law? I see no reason. I mean, it's civil, but it's not some criminal. But his manager was arrested, campaign manager arrested, and Donald Trump stood beside him, continues to stand beside him. But it just makes the whole process of running for president, on top of last week, we talked about that, the ad flap between the wives, and keep the out of politics. But something that seems to surround Donald Trump is some kind of nasty fighting, something that seems to be below the belt sometimes. And Donald Trump is good at it because he's taken down every other competitor in the Republican race except for Kasich and Ted Cruz. And that goes back now, and why I call it the Cruz versus the Trump-Kasich alliance is because there's only thing Kasich is doing is helping Donald Trump. So where is he getting his money? You got to ask, is Kasich getting his money from Trump fans or some of his, you know, Trump has said some of his friends want to give him $10 million, $15 million. Said, no, not taking it. Well, maybe they're pumping it into Kasich's camp because Kasich is taking votes away from Ted Cruz. And as a Cruz supporter, I've mentioned I'm for Cruz, but you do wonder, how is Kasich getting his money if it's not from George Soros, which some people know he's getting money from there. The FEC reports show that. And if he's getting money from Soros, what could be the reason? Because they want Donald Trump to win so Hillary can waltz in November. And John Kasich, they're saying, hey, everybody likes you, John. Well, of course Soros does, and of course Trump does, and that's why it's the Kasich-Trump alliance, and that's why we've mentioned that. So the people in Wisconsin, maybe they can help decipher what is between Cruz and Trump and give us a primary there and say, John Kasich, take your marbles, go home. Come to convention, use your delegates wisely, but you know, don't just hand it to Donald Trump. And here I am talking about Ted Cruz and Donald Trump being the only two that can win. And we talked about that last week. But in just a few moments, we're going to have Phyllis Schlafly on and interview her, see what she has to say. She is a Donald Trump supporter, and we'll see why. But before we do that, I just have to talk a little bit more about, what did Ted Cruz say about when he had a town hall meeting with CNN? This is what he had to say about supporting a nominee that wasn't himself.
Do you still stand by the pledge to support whoever the nominee, even if it's Donald Trump?
Well, Anderson, as you mentioned, what I said is true. I'm not in the habit of supporting someone who attacks my wife and attacks my...
And Senator Cruz went on and said it and attacks my family. So he is not saying he'll get behind Donald Trump if he's the nominee. And he went on to say he didn't expect Trump to be the nominee. He wanted himself to be the nominee. Asked John Kasich the similar thing, and he said that he could see himself not supporting the nominee. And then Donald Trump was asked on the town hall meeting, and he said that, no, he didn't think he'd been treated fair, so he wouldn't support the nominee if it wasn't himself. What is going on? Well, it reminds me of this song from U2. See if it reminds you of something.
I have spoken with Donald.
Well, you've been through this Republican nomination process so far. Can you say that you've heard someone speak like the tongue of an angel? I think we've all can say we feel like we're holding hands with the devil, but we still haven't found what we're looking for. We found candidates, but we have not found a consensus candidate to win the nomination. So where does that lead us? Well, it leads us going to the lady that's been conservative before being conservative is cool. Her name is Phyllis Schlafly, and she's going to be right up after the break here.
I'm Ted Cruz's wife, Senator Ted Cruz's wife, Heidi Cruz from Texas, and you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splittin' Politics.
Hello, America. Todd Starnes here from the Fox News corner of the world, and you are listening to Rock Splittin' Politics. Sweet mercy.
Whew, all right.
That's good.
Well, we're glad that Heidi Cruz is listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splittin' Politics now that she's been out in this campaign. And another strong woman in the Ted Cruz campaign team, along with Carly Fiorina and his 81-year-old mother, they are strongly supporting Ted Cruz. So, yes, he has strong women support. How about Donald Trump? Well, he's got Phyllis Schlafly. I told you we're going to get to her in just a few seconds now. But before we get there, you got to remember, Doc Holliday's got a book. It's not just mine. It's Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland, Dr. Ed Holliday, three doctors there in different fields. But we put together a book, Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. How can you get a copy? I knew you were asking. Well, you can go right on the front page of this website of Rock Splittin' Politics, and there you can see the cover, Bedrock Truths. Click on it. It'll take you to my website, docholliday.org, docholliday.org. You can go there. You can order that book, Bedrock Truths. We got other books you can order. Be glad for you to get the books. It helps keep us on radio, helps keep us getting this message to you every week. And I am so glad. I've been getting reports that, yes, our audience is growing right here during this presidential election year. What we're bringing to the audience, their listeners, is a commentary. And people like Phyllis Schlafly and others would come on with special insights, special speakers who can tell us things. They take the clips, and we give you commentary you won't get here anywhere else. You get it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splittin' Politics. Tell your friends and neighbors, we are glad you're listening to us. And now, let's go to our special guest, Phyllis Schlafly. Well, welcome to Doc Holliday's Rock Splittin' Politics, Phyllis Schlafly. And she's I guess you could call yourself a chairperson of the Board of Conservative Politics. You've been around and seen more than any Republican living, almost, I would say. Would you agree with that?
Well, I've been to every Republican convention since 1952.
Well, I was about to ask you, when was the first Republican convention you went to?
That was the first one, 1952.
Well, tell me, in my reading of history books in 1952, it said that the Republicans couldn't really decide on who to run for president. And that's when they ended up persuading Dwight D. Eisenhower to run. Is that what happened?
Well, they didn't have any trouble persuading him.
Okay.
What they had to do was get somebody else out of the way. And so they went to the governor of California, who had the biggest delegation. And they offered him the first appointment on the U.S. Supreme Court if he would endorse, through all his big delegation, the biggest one in the country, to Eisenhower. And he did, and that's a major reason why Eisenhower won.
Speaking of that, now we're looking at this in the year 2016, and it looks like we may not have a candidate that gets enough delegates before the first vote in the Republican convention.
That just opens it up for the kingmakers to play their racket.
Well, that's what scares a lot of people. What do you think would happen? I mean, I know anything could happen.
Well, I don't think they're going to pick Trump.
One thing my listeners want to know, and I want to know, I've seen where you have endorsed Donald Trump. Is that correct,
Phillip? Yes, that is correct.
I have been following politics many years of my life, and you've always been, and I've always agreed with you and sided with you on most things in family values and what you might call the religious right. However, now how did you decide between Trump over Ted Cruz?
Well, I met with Trump when he came to St. Louis for a big rally,
mm-hmm.
and I asked him to support the Republican platform that we adopted last year. I think it's our best one, and it covers all the major things I care about, abortion, marriage, military superiority. And that word superiority is very important to me. We need to be the best in the world, not just good, but the best.
Right.
And also clamping down on the illegals coming in, clamping down on immigration. And he's right on all those issues, and really the only one who is.
Well, when you said he'll support the Republican platform, there's people in the conservative movement and including me, as far as I really question if we can depend on Donald Trump as opposed to Ted Cruz, because I know Ted Cruz is founded, his roots are deep into the conservative movement that you helped establish, and I know Ted Cruz's roots go down into that, but I'm not sure if Donald Trump, with his lifetime of what he's done, that his roots go deep in that conservative, rich earth that you've developed. So do you have any doubts that Donald Trump would be the best for this country?
Well, you make a good point, and I'll remind you, we weren't real sure about Ronald Reagan when we nominated him in 1980. So I certainly don't think Trump is perfect, and he might fall off the wagon in some respects. But I do think we need somebody who'll shake things up, and somebody who will respect the wishes of the middle class of America. I think he really wants to make America great again.
Well, I feel, and I do too. Trump has convinced me, because one thing that, number one, he doesn't have to do this, and he's putting his life on the line. I mean, he's running for president, and he got Secret Service protection, but he's putting himself out there. So I give him that. You know, he's got to really want it and really believe he can make America great again, or he wouldn't be going through all this.
That's right.
He's spending
his own money, so he can't be bought.
And I agree. I like that aspect of it also. But I am, for your information, I have supported Ted Cruz, and I'm just trying to find out. What scares me is what you talked about. If it goes to a broker convention, then the kingmakers try to come out, and I believe anything that would take it away from Trump or Cruz should be guarded against. Now, I don't know. Is there a way
yes,
that
you're
Trump
absolutely
can,
right.
Can they
and
do something about
they,
that?
If it goes to a wide-open convention, the kingmakers will do everything they can to destroy Trump and not let him get it.
Do you think there's something? I know there's a lot of animosity now between the Trump camp and the Cruz camp, but if they work together, there's no way they could take it away from both of them if they had enough delegates there, I don't believe. I mean,
yeah,
you've been to convention since 1952, so what are your feelings on that?
Well, you make a very good point, and I can't challenge it. You're just absolutely right. But when I met with Trump, I asked him if he would consider appointing Cruz to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Uh-huh.
And he would be very, very good for that.
I could see that, too. What did Trump have to say about
well,
that?
Well, he looked like he wasn't going to make a commitment,
right.
But he looked like he was in agreement, and he understood what I was asking him.
One thing that when we're talking about the difference with Trump and Cruz is I know like in Georgia, I don't know if you saw where the Georgia governor vetoed the religious liberty protection law that they had going on in Georgia. And basically he was he didn't stand up to the NFL and others that are looking at Super Bowl saying they'd take things away from Atlanta and places in Georgia if the governor signed the law into being. And those are some of the family values of marriage and marriage between one man and one woman, these things that you've stood for in life. That's where I guess I feel like Ted Cruz would be a more powerful voice and would stand up for those biblical principles, whereas I'm afraid Donald Trump would go, well, it's been voted on, the Supreme Court's decided, we're going to move on.
Well, I think I share your worries, but let me remind you that when Ronald Reagan was running in 1980, he was our first divorced president, and a lot of us thought, well, that really wasn't safe to have a guy who had been divorced as president, and he turned out to be the best president of the 20th century. We're not always right, and I think that Trump has good intentions, and he wants to make America great, and in particular, he has been right on this immigration issue. And you just look at Europe, how immigration has absolutely destroyed Europe. I thought the Germans were tough, but they're not tough enough for these immigrants.
Well, you're right on that. It's scary to watch what's going on in Europe. And
we don't want it. You know, I devoted a year of my life to fighting the plan to make us put us in a North American Union, where right. We would have open borders between the Canada and the U.S. and Mexico. And that's the craziest idea I ever heard. And I devoted a year of my life to fighting that, and we did fight it and did beat it. But they're letting we're letting those creeps in anyway, even if they're criminals.
Well, I do know that's where Trump, when his strongest stands, and I believe that's where he's getting so much popularity and votes.
That's right.
But now, when you look at Trump in a general election, I know he says some polls show him winning, but most polls show him losing to Clinton by, 10 points and more. And especially the women vote. It seems like Trump has a long way to go to gain the respect of a majority of women. What would you say to that?
Well, you are right, although I thought really women like strong men.
Uh-huh. Well, I know it. You may have to stand beside Donald Trump, get him to let you stand beside him, and maybe that'll help bring these women on board if he gets the nomination.
Well, I think he would be better for our country. And he's not perfect. I mean, nobody's perfect.
No,
isn't. He's got a lot of defects. But nevertheless, I think his heart's in the right place, and he really wants to make America great.
Well, what a great lady. 92 years young and been to every Republican presidential convention since 1952. What an honor it was to have her on the show. I disagree with Donald Trump. I am a Ted Cruz fan, but there you have it. I think this was a great interview. You can see why one of the conservative icons is for Trump. She said, number one, that he would get behind the Republican platform, the one that's already written, that he would get behind it. That's what convinced Phyllis Schlafly to get on board a Trump train. But she does have concerns. You heard that. Said he's not perfect. We heard her say that. And she really believes that Trump will make America great again. I believe Ted Cruz is the guy we got to go to. I really don't know and see when you look at the polls how there's such a women problem in overall in a general election. They don't want to get behind Donald Trump, and I don't know if he'll be able to convince them. He's knocked off all these candidates to almost get to the nomination. He needs to start working on Hillary Clinton to show to the voters now in the Republican Party that he can knock down Hillary Clinton. He needs to do that because I don't have the faith that he can beat Hillary Clinton. Go after her now, Donald, because we need to see what you can really do. Now, saying that, we got primaries coming up. We know Wisconsin this week, then goes on to Pennsylvania, New York, all the way on to California out west. A lot of primaries. That's why we did this show with Phyllis Schlafly, I want my Trump. Yes, I get your emails. Yes, I know we got a lot of Trump supporters here. Yes, I want Ted Cruz and Donald Trump to work together. John Kasich with Mike Huckabee. The Republicans have got to get their act together. Just like you two were singing, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. We haven't yet. After the convention, whoever the nominee is, we've got to get behind them because we cannot have even the inkling of Hillary Clinton picking the next three or four justices of the United States Supreme Court. We can about hang it up. We're not going to socialism. We're already there. We'll be going to communism. What will happen to the Second Amendment? What will happen to freedom and liberty, especially the religious liberty? Everywhere you turn around, you're getting stomped in the ground with your religious beliefs by this socialist, politically correct government. We're going to have to spend billions on bathrooms so that people can go to the bathroom together. Have you thought about that? That's what our nation's coming down to. You're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm glad you are. Tell your friends and neighbors, Rock Splitting Politics. Every week, got a new, exciting show. Tell you things here you won't hear anywhere else. And we're going to keep an eye on what's going on in rock splitting politics. We see the rocks falling. We see the cracks. We'll tell you where they're falling, just like we have today. Get out and vote. Get active. Get behind your candidate and get on the phone. Tell your friends and neighbors, this is what makes America great. And this is what's going to give us what we need. We're going to go through some valleys, folks. We're going to get some times where you don't feel optimistic, but It's happened before in America. There's been some doom days. There's been some down days. There's been some very horrific days. You've been a part of some of those. And the history shows there's a lot more than what we've been a part of. And we've pulled ourselves together in this experiment of liberty, experiment of freedom, self-government. We can do it, working together. I'm not giving up faith. I'm not giving up hope. And we're going to work together. Let's do it. All right. See you next week. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week. We'll be right back.